Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome to Soul to Soul, right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiven. It's great to be with you here on this wonderful afternoon. And as director of Chabad Seniors Programs, I thought, why don't we take a segment to talk about aging with grace, some wisdom from Jewish traditions on growing older, and perhaps we could do this as a multi-week series. There's so much to talk about in this regard. And I want to begin today's discussion with an interesting passage from the Talmud where the Gemara says that until Avraham Avinu, there was actually no physical signs of old age. That means back then, people aged without aging. How's that? Anyways, the Talmud says that if somebody wanted to speak to Avraham, they would have mistakenly been speaking to his son Yitzchak. And because of that, because they were so identical in appearance, obviously because it was a great miracle that Yitzchak was born to the old age of Abraham and Sarah. So Abraham prayed to God that he should have physical signs of old age in order for people to distinguish the differentiate between Abraham and Yitzchak. And in fact, the Talmud uses a verse of the Torah to back up this idea. And the verse is, Abraham Zakein Babayamin, that Abraham was aged and he was well on in years. Now, according to the simple understanding of Abraham was aged and well on in his years, I always understood it as Abraham Zakein, Abraham in his advanced old age, Babayamin. He was a person, he and Sarah were so fulfilled with their life, they came with all the years. There were better years, there were worse years, there were good times, not such good times. But all of that accumulated together is what made up Avram and Sarah, who they were. Yet it was all something part of the package of who they were, and that was part of their identity. In fact, it's a lesson for us that we don't have to look back at our life and our old age and have regrets and be remorseful about certain things. It's part of what shaped who we are today. But there's another interpretation that our sages in the Talmud are telling us is it seems redundant to say that Avram was old, well on in his years. And therefore, they explain it as there's no superfluous word here in the Torah, but rather the implication is that there was a possibility of being well on in years actually without aging. And it was only with Avraham that aging began to take shape. And that's why the verse says, "The Avraham Zakein Babayamim," that Avraham was old, well on in his years. Now, thinking about that, without a doubt, this Talmudic passage sounds quite strange to our modern ears. Did Abraham actually pray to exhibit signs of old age? Contrast that with today's prevalent attitude about aging. I know for myself, at least, I look in the mirror and see a white hair and I go crazy. It's a midlife crisis. How about you? I don't know, but you know, this is something that certainly makes us many of us anxious. And in fact, if we look at the world we live in today, this is a multi-billion dollar industry of the anti-aging creams and products and everything else you can imagine. The analysts have in fact taught the findings and projections of what the world is going to look like. There are so many articles about the global anti-aging industry that it is a multi-hundred billion dollar business and projected to grow beyond that. And of course, one wonders, you know, had Yitzchak prayed to God because of his embarrassment of being mistaken for his 100, how old was his father? 100 years older than him, right? That would make perfect sense. But it was Abraham who prayed here. So why is that? Shouldn't he have felt accomplished that he looked young in his old age, that felt complimented that he was mistaken for a significantly younger looking son? And actually, I'm going to share with you the continuation of the Talmud just because I think it's a relevant message. And the Gemara tells us, in fact, illness was also something that didn't exist until Yaakov Avinu, that death was not preceded by illness. Yaakov came along and prayed to God for that to change. And in fact, there's a verse that we see in the Torah where it says that Yaakov was ill, where Yosef says, Avicha chola. So, or was told to Yosef, rather, that his father was ill. Again, which is, by the way, a very interesting matter if you wonder why it is that, why is it when a person sneezes that we say, Gesundheit, zu gesund, bless you, or whatever your version of it is. I hear some of my seniors at Chabad go, Tzukazun Tzeleben Tzelangi Yaren, Tzavaksen Tzeleben, and Alta Babylon Tzaytas Ostaveren, whatever version you like to use. Either way, whenever, wherever a person was, whether on the road or in the marketplace, they would sneeze and their soul would exit through their nostrils. As we know from the Torah, how did Adam and Eve come into existence? Well, Adam was fashioned from the dust of the earth. In fact, the name Adam comes from Adama, the earth. And God blew into his nostrils a breath of life, meaning his soul. Until Yaakov came along and prayed for this termination of life, that they would sneeze and the soul would exit. Actually, that's the way it would go. But Yaakov prayed. He said, don't take my soul from me until I had the time to instruct my children and my household. And we know that you could consider in life the difference between one who, when there's a time for closure, there's an opportunity to take care of unfinished business, so to say, and deal with matters that need to be addressed. Whereas if a person just dies suddenly, as it used to be, sometimes the grief, the pain can be that much greater. So if you ever wondered why and where it came from to say Gesundheit when someone sneezed, the idea of the soul being expelled through this forceful propulsion of air from the nostrils is understandable by the fact that according to the Torah's creation narrative, the neshama entered the body, as it were, by God's breathing forcefully into Adam's nostrils, and that's how it would exit. And so we say Gesundheit because that's what people would die through a sneeze. Another interesting insight is you might notice a lot of people pull their ears when they sneeze to remind them that Adam didn't listen to God's instruction not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is why they were expelled from paradise, from Gan Eden, which is why death was introduced so that evil wouldn't have a permanent existence here in the world. But I think that's just a fascinating side note about this concept about death coming, being preceded by illness. Of course, one wonders, why did Abraham want to look old? Is there an advantage to looking old? Think about it. Some of my senior citizens tell me that, hey, you get to skip the queue, or maybe other things, you get reverence, respect. But think about us youngsters today. Why do people want to avoid and slow the aging process? If your opinion were asked, would you vote to confirm Abraham's request that we should look old, that we should age, that we should get wrinkles and all the other signs of aging? And why did Yaakov ask for illness before death? If my opinion was asked, would I want to be sick? I know that illness certainly is not something any of us ever want, but it's something to think about and wonder about the benefits of aging or the benefits of illness. And obviously, we live in a time and a culture where old age is not considered something, or at least looking old is not something we want. We don't want to get old, but we want to look old, right? So it's something that people want to avoid to every extent possible. And hence, there is an anti-aging industry that is making billions and billions of dollars. And not only the creams and products and everything else, but even you look in the stationery stores, and you see aisles filled with these funny birthday cards that poke fun at the tragedy that is a birthday. And by people's tendency, we all like to lie about our age. We say, my age is a number, mine is unlisted. So if this is the case, at the core of people's fear of aging is actually something else. Is it the looking old? Is it the being old? Or maybe we know that aging is a precursor to death. And we face this fear, the thanatophobia, as it's called in the jargon of English, of contemplating our own mortality. And yet old age is, should be, we should definitely consider it a wonderful blessing. It's a time when people treat you differently, when you feel differently about yourself. It's a time of greater maturity, of wisdom, of clarity, of emotional stability, when you have all this vast life experience behind to really appreciate. And the fear of illness that people have before dying is also clearly associated with that fear of death. Far worse than any physical pain that a person might suffer is the emotional fear that's associated with their passing from this world with the termination of life as we know it, it's separated from our loved ones. And yet illness before death, we should really know. Why did Yaakov pray for it? Because there is that element of blessing. It gives the opportunity, provides time to say goodbye, to make amends, to issue those last instructions. And it would seem, I think, that perhaps it's that fear of death that leads to that attempted denial of our mortality and doesn't allow us to appreciate the blessings that are inherent in old age or even in illness before death that, God forbid, we shouldn't know about, but we should also come to appreciate and understand why perhaps the Almighty does these things. And certainly, it's definitely difficult for us to relate to another consideration, to another aspect, which God forbid, one should never know of, but where young people die prematurely. And perhaps in a sense, we have to understand, though, and I'm not going to excuse or justify any illnesses or premature deaths, but in a sense, we have to know that there actually is no such thing from a spiritual perspective of a premature illness or death or any of that, because ultimately we have our mission in this world. And each of us is here for our allotted time in order for us to accomplish, to achieve, to fulfill that purpose why God dispatched us into this world. And perhaps those fears of death can be somewhat mitigated by the Jewish perspective, by understanding and appreciating why we're here, and to understand that death is, in a sense, only the idea that we're moving from one state of being to another. Because the soul, the real us, is actually eternal after all. The soul just heads back to its native habitat up on the high, where in fact it's comfortable and at home, where it experiences the greatest divine pleasures, basking in spirituality. And so death cannot really be something that is prematurely imposed on anyone, not by illness or accident, even another's evil deeds or negligence, because it is within our ability to live a spiritual life that transcends death altogether. And that is a very important perspective to keep and to have. And again, the pain that we feel when, God forbid, somebody dies is unbearable. And while it sounds cliche to say they're in a better place, which they are, it's not something anyone wants to hear. So I don't recommend anyone ever say such a thing. We feel the pain, the grief, the sorrow of losing a loved one, and therefore it's not something that we should in any way be justifying. But at the same time, at least here, when we're perhaps out, you know, where it's not a subjective matter, more objectively, we can consider this matter and understand that there's never really a true termination of a person because the soul lives for eternity. And therefore, even so, it is in a better place, but we are uncomfortable. And maybe, if we could somehow come to terms with the idea that we our soul is eternal, and understand why Abraham prayed for signs of age and Yaakov prayed for illness to precede his death, which obviously it doesn't resonate with our ears today, where we want to live in this forever young mindset, myself included. Our fear of old age and of terminal illness is essentially related to that fear of death. And so if we could overcome that fear, then if we could discuss our newfound serenity and appreciation of life and of old age, which, please God, we should all live to a ripe old age, then I think we could all be in a more and a better place. That is something that I would like to talk about in today's segment of Soul to Soul, right here on 101.9 Chai FM. We'll be right back.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Soul to Soul, right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiveman. And today we've been talking about the benefits of our old age. And in fact, what the Talmud says, that until Abraham Avinu, in fact, there were no signs of aging. And we're talking today a little bit about the benefits of aging And is there an advantage to looking old? And why do people want to avoid it? And in a sense, we said that perhaps it's not the old age itself. We would all love to get old, but maybe it's the idea of what comes, what are the inevitable continuations of that. And perhaps I want to refocus us about life, that we need to actually prioritize. That old age reminds us about what's important and what isn't so important. And maybe when we contemplate our mortality, it leads us to avoid many foolish mistakes and bad choices that we make in life. As we know in Pirkei Avot, as the Mishnah tells us, you should consider three things that will prevent you from sinning. And what are they? Know where you come from, know where you're heading, and know before whom you're going to have to give a judgment and a reckoning before the Almighty. And it helps us to prioritize and remain focused on what's really important and of lasting value. And this is important. When we focus on that which is important and that which is eternal, and not on things that are here today and gone tomorrow, it's so important for us to have that perspective and to realize the priorities. Where are we spending our time? There are so many things in life that perhaps we waste our time on. And in fact, when I think about that Mishnah that tells us that we're, you come from a putrid drop and we're heading to a place of dust, maggots, and worms, why would the Mishnah tell us that? Doesn't that sound quite morbid? Because inevitably, that's where we're all going. You go to West Park or whatever cemetery when our time comes and we're buried there. And perhaps the Mishnah is emphasizing the idea, what do you think you're going to take with you? You think you're going to accumulate more gadgets and more stuff, and you can take those things with you to the next world? No, we don't get to take anything. It's a famous story with the philanthropist Reichman, who left a will for his kids to be buried in its favorite pair of socks. And yet, he didn't even get to be buried in that. And his message and lesson to his children was that you don't get to take anything with you. And he says, what, you want to eat more food? You want to have more, you want to indulge in more pleasures just so that the maggots, worms, and dust get to enjoy it? And this is, again, while it sounds like a morbid perspective of life, it's King Solomon who's telling us that Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, focus on what is of ultimate importance, Esa Alei Kimira, focus on our spiritual matters and our family matters. Those are the areas of life that we really need to focus on. And the truth of the matter is, it is never too late. As you might be familiar with the famous story of Alfred Nobel, who is today most famously known as the principal benefactor of the Nobel Prizes, but he made his fortune actually by inventing and manufacturing dynamite. And the famous story goes that when Alfred's brother died, the newspapers thought they confused him with Alfred. And so one French newspaper had a headline, something to the effect of, "The Merchant of Death is Dead." And when Alfred Nobel saw that, he actually thought to himself, oh my gosh, is that what I'm going to be remembered for? And he was reading these obituaries and he was so disappointed that that was the legacy he left about himself, that he can be remembered for all, for the dynamite, for the death he introduced, the devastation of the world with his innovation. And so that's what led him to establish the Nobel Prizes by putting aside the bulk of his estate towards that. And I think that is a great story that reminds us that we're not all afforded that opportunity as Alfred Nobel was. But if we contemplate, if we sometimes are humbled, and as a rabbi who's unfortunately all too often at West Park Cemetery, of course, dealing with old age, and the topic of our discussion that I've led into today is certainly a matter that I'm there all too often. And I get that constant reminder that life is short. We really don't know. The Mishnah says, why don't you do teshuva the day before they're going to die? And none of us knows what day we're going to die. And therefore, we should live every day with meaning and purpose. As Steve Jobs once said, live every day like it were your last day. Famous story about Moses Montefiore, who was a great philanthropist. And he once asked was it Queen Victoria? I don't remember exactly whom. I think it was Queen Victoria, who asked him what he was worth. And he gave a number that was not nearly close to what he was known to be worth. And she was quite disappointed. She asked, are you deceiving me? And he said, not at all. The number, the value that I quoted to you, he said, that was the tzedakah, the charity I've given. He said, that's my true value. Everything else is something that can come and go. And that's a very important point about us realizing about what is of true value to us. And not only the charity, but also the good deeds we do in this world, the time we spend with our loved ones. That, my friends, is what is most important. Everything else is fungible. Fungible meaning that that's a term I learned in economics. And that is things that come and go, things that can be exchanged for something else. But our family cannot be exchanged for another family. Our time can never be exchanged for other time. And therefore, I think it's most important that we consider. In fact, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Histakel b'shlosh adam." Reflect on these three things. If we were all aware where we come from and where we're headed, and that awareness alone could hopefully remind us to reflect on this, right? Occasionally, at least, and to realize to be focused on what's truly meaningful and important in our life. And that, I think, is something very, very important, because in the world we live in today, a lot of people talk about YOLO, you only live once. But the truth is, it's not true that we only live once. We live every day. In our society, people are focused on having fun, right? Whatever I could do, what I could get on my bucket list, all the different things that I could do before I kick the bucket. And that is, it's a sad reality, because from a Jewish perspective, yes, we all die, but we only die once. We should rather focus on the life we live, because we live every single day. And therefore, we should focus on the important things of life. That is where the way we should be living our lives. And if we could have that focus in our lives, I think we would be living a lot more of a meaningful and purposeful life. And that is the point of what Judaism tells us about looking forward to old age, when we all of a sudden have that realization. And maybe that's why I'm sharing it with you today, that we should, in fact, put aside our ego, our pride, our hubris, and a little bit of humility could perhaps get us a lot further, because we know that it's that arrogance that sometimes gets in the way, that creates those faribles, those squabbles of life that we can't forgive our loved ones. And if we can have the humility that we really should tap into, it means that we don't take our ego as seriously, right? If after all, we're here today, gone tomorrow, hopefully we're here, not gone tomorrow, but around a little bit longer, but we don't know. So why cut off our nose to spite our face? How often do we do these things that are petty and silly, just plain wrong, in the interest of our ego, preserving our pride? How many beautiful relationships have been sacrificed on the sacred altar of the ego? And my friends, this is something we really need to be a lot more aware of. If I were to ask you, what's more valuable, your time or your money? What would you say? Well, most people are going to say their time is a lot more precious. Yeah? But the reality is that most of us don't live by that truth. And that's a very important point that we have to remember. As the Gemara itself said, Adam Daigal Ibud Damav, the end of Adam Daigal Ibud Yamav, that people worry more about the loss of their funds, of their money, but not as much about the loss of their time. Whereas we know, Damav Einam Aizrim, the Yamav Einam Chayzrim, that our money doesn't really help. Wealth doesn't always buy health. And Yamav Einam Chayzrim, and the days can never be returned. So we have to remember that while it's true that there are things in life, money is fungible, that think of whatever it is that, you know, things we have. We could always change it. Your iPhone could always be exchanged for another iPhone. You think of your own examples, but people are not fungible. I can't drop off my kid at school and pick up a different kid. And time is not fungible. It's just the most precious commodity we have. And therefore, we have to remember not to squander it. Don't waste those precious moments that we have, because they'll never be refundable, so to say. We'll never be able to claim that back. And this is a reminder to us, and perhaps that's why I'm privileged to have those reminders every time that I'm there at the cemetery, remind myself that, you know, the importance of life and the need to fully seize and embrace every moment. When life is short, every single day matters. Every moment is precious. And yet, despite the fact that we are aware of that, somehow we live as if we'll always be here. Life, rather than being something we preciously cling to, becomes this endless succession of goals in which we feed our selfish desires and aspirations. We generally like to think that, and certainly we tend to behave as if we're going to be here forever. So why do we care more about money than about waste of time? Maybe because of our illusion of our immortality, that time is dispensable, we think, that there's always more of it. And unfortunately, losing my mother at a very young age, I was made aware much earlier on that time is so precious. And the more we value the present, the less we hopefully will procrastinate. One of those important lessons I learned is the greatest gift we can give our loved ones is our presence. As my mother of blessed memory always used to remind me, yesterday is history and tomorrow is a mystery, but today's a gift of God, and that's why it's called the present. And if we can just be aware of that idea, then I think we will live our lives differently, that we will realize that every moment is so precious. The fact that life is short, we have no idea when the final day will be. And we must always be ready. We must view every day as if it were our last day, not in a morbid and sad sense, but in the sense realizing that we are mission-driven. And if we're mission-driven, people who live with a sense of urgency, we take protocol less seriously. Our immediate needs and our social structures often distract us from thinking about our mission and realizing that reflecting on our mortality gives us that urgency to make our life meaningful and not just functional. And therefore, I would say, as Rabbi Elazar says in Pirkei Avos, that a person should do teshuvah. What does he say? Shuv yom echad lifnei misach. That you should repent a day before you're going to die. In practical terms, this means that the awareness of our mortality reminds us of the idea that we just don't know, and therefore don't focus on the trivial matters, but rather focus on what is more important and the importance of our relationships. And there's so many relationships that we have. We think about it, whether it's our relationship with God, but what about a relationship with our fellow human beings, starting with our loved ones, right? And don't get stuck in the faribles. That's the important. That's such an important aspect of life that we have to all be more aware of and constantly focus on these ideas. And I think I don't mean to give us that, you know, that you should be spending all your time thinking about our mortality and the morbid idea. And therefore, perhaps we should live in the here and now in that sense, right? There's a famous story of the Radvaz, I think it was, who was once asked by a student who was incarcerated or, you know, a follower, asking, you know, he was given a day off, a day of furlough. What day should he take? And he said, today is the day. Don't wait. Don't wait. Now's the time. And I think this is something very important, that we could maximize every single day. Living in the now is a core Jewish value that we have to realize there are so many benefits, because there's a clear sense of priorities when we do so. Perhaps there's a awareness to be a little bit humbler, to let go of our self-destructive ego and pride, And living in the now is about valuing every moment. And I want us to take a moment and to just think about this concept, how, in fact, it is a core Jewish value. There are so many ways to realize that and to tap into this concept that life is of the most important value, core aspect that we have. And the most important day, no doubt, is today. And that's not because life is short or because we never know what day we're going to die. But I think today has an intrinsic importance, even if we were to live forever, because every moment is precious to begin with. And we should see the potential that every single day has. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov instructs us to not allow a single day to pass without doing a mitzvah. Today is important, not only because of what I can do today, but there's a certain godly potential in each moment of life that is waiting for us to discover and to actualize through the mitzvahs, through the good deeds we can do. And we are tasked with elevating every single precious moment that we have. We should elevate it to the highest place possible. We'll be back in a moment, and I want to focus on the golden years of life.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to Soul to Soul Radio, 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiveman, and it's great being with you here today. And in fact, I'm enjoying discussing this idea about the importance of maximizing every single day. But working with the elderly has made me realize that when people are older, that's when they in fact learn this message so much more so, because in our later years, we're so much more aware that our days are limited, and we have a greater desire to make the most of each day. As I learn from my fellow senior citizens, well, I might not be a senior citizen yet, but I certainly gained so much from working with the elderly. And I think a very important lesson we can learn: in Jewish tradition, we are meant to be productive every single moment we have. And therefore, retirement is not really part of the Jewish lexicon. In fact, we have to realize that, yes, at times we make transitions, but we never fully retire. There's no such thing as retiring from life. And that's a very, very important message, that life is about accomplishing. If something is good and worth doing, it's worth doing it when we're younger, then it's certainly worth doing it when we're older. There's plenty of time to relax in the afterlife. Like my father, of blessed memory, used to say to me, "Ashlaf is a ganav, sleep is a thief." Life is about working. Obviously, you don't want work to be something that is trivial, that you don't feel accomplished and achieved. And therefore, you have to make sure that the work that we do engage with, that we are involved with, should be of meaning and purpose. But the point that the Talmud is telling us about every single moment being of the utmost maximizing our value. And therefore, let's say after years of work, a person has become a multi-billionaire, has no financial need to work anymore. Should they sit and do nothing? No, obviously, use your expertise that you acquire during your working years to continue being productive. And there are so many ways that you can be productive, and that I want to talk about, because unfortunately, we see that in society today, I don't know how many of you are aware, but the greatest amount of depression tends to be amongst the elderly people. And that is something that is very sad, that there are a lot of elderly people who are perhaps taking medication for their depression because they're finding a lack of productivity. Maybe they've been retrenched from work. Maybe there are other reasons. Maybe they're not physically well enough to work anymore. And I think work, or perhaps I should say productivity, is important to our happiness and our sense of fulfillment in life. And this is something that elderly retired people, I think, learn to understand. You know, you think about when we're younger, we look forward to a holiday, we want to go on vacation, although the word vacation itself is not my favorite word, even though I'm American from birth, although by now I've spent more of my life in South Africa than in America. But the word vacation itself implies that time is vacant, that it's empty, that it's devoid of purpose. And that's not the way it should be. In fact, when we're on holiday, you know, you come, luckily here, there's the December holiday, it's 5-6 weeks. And in America, in the States, the whole summer, it's winding down now in September. But the idea that vacation implies my time is vacant, it's empty, devoid of purpose. Whereas holiday means now I have an opportunity to make every day holier. I'm not stuck at my job at work, and I can actually utilize my time in a more purposeful and meaningful way. And if we could have that awareness, then even in an old age, when perhaps for whatever reason, people, whether due to circumstances within or out of one's control, that they find themselves out of work, they have to realize over our years, we gain expertise and experience in so many areas. And these gifts are meant to be used for the good of society, even after the time of traditional retirement. So yes, maybe a person is no longer able to be as productive or working like they used to. But it's true that as we age, we are not as physically capable of doing things that maybe we were capable of doing when we were younger, when we were in our physical prime. But there are other areas in which we can contribute. Think about it. As the brute bodily powers diminish, we are granted additional gifts and strengths in other areas of life. And the Talmud, in fact, tells us that if the youth advise you to build, don't listen to them. If the elders advise you to destroy, do listen to them. Why? And Talmud says something fascinating, that the destruction of elders is constructive, and the construction of youth who are perhaps inexperienced can be destructive. Think about how important it is to follow the counsel of the elderly. I think that is a very important message that the Talmud tells us. And if you can no longer work in a particular area that previously you were able to, maybe you could share with others your experience, your ideas, your insights, and how they could be productive. Maybe you could become a mentor, as we have at Chabad Seniors programs had over the years, where the youngsters come and teach the elders how to use their technology, their devices. They become tech tutors. You know how empowering it is for our teenagers to be tech tutors, and the reciprocation of this intergenerational working together where the elders can teach the youngers how to, whatever it is, science, maths, or work. During one's older years, you can and you should transition instead of sitting back and being depressed because you can no longer work, but spend that time mentoring, sharing your wisdom, your experience. Every elderly person has wisdom and life experiences to share. In fact, the Talmud tells us that Rabbi Yochanan would rise in respect of any elderly person, anyone, regardless of their erudition or accomplishments, because of the rich life experiences, the travails, the miracles that they surely witnessed and experienced. The idea of older people transitioning to advisory positions is not something new. In fact, you see the Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, in chapter 5, it says that 50 years of age is the time for counsel. And why? Because actually, we learn this from the Levian, the Levites. At the age of 50, they were no longer allowed to work to do certain jobs in the Mishkan and the Tabernacle, in the sanctuary in the desert, and later on in the temple. But they would at that time serve in an advisory capacity. They would mentor the younger Levian. Now you wonder, what about an older person who perhaps, God forbid, they can't speak? You know, there are certain disabilities that come with old age. Sometimes one can no longer move as they used to. And there are certain, we know that sadly, the agility as one gets older, God forbid, one might even be in a vegetative state. And perhaps every single moment of life, we know, according to Jewish law, has a purpose. And even in those states of being, we all have a mission, a purpose, a reason that we're still here, that God wants us here. So I think the point is that aging is not a time when we sit back and wait to die, God forbid, but rather we must always recognize that every single day that God gives us is a gift. It's meant to be utilized to the fullest. And most importantly, during the elder years, we have an opportunity to spend more time engaging the most important and productive endeavor of all. And that is, my friends, our spiritual development and growth. as many people unfortunately did not have the time in their younger years to study Torah. One old man says to me, he comes to my daily classes at Chabad because he's cramming for the finals. Jokes aside, studying Torah, deepening our relationship with God is significant, is important. And this is perhaps maybe why Avraham Avinu requests of God for the blessing of visible signs of old age. That old age is something when a person who's free to the burden of life, of the younger years' challenges, and recognizing that every single day of life, including those of old age, is a gift from God and comes with the potential of productivity, of using every single moment in the most meaningful and purposeful way possible. That, my friends, is the mission, is the message that we need to really appreciate and apply in our lives. And therefore, Jewish tradition encourages us to take those necessary steps in life. And yes, as we get older, but any moment, because you just never know when you're going to die, as the Mishnah says, and to make the proper preparations and to be spiritually and physically ready, and whatever that might entail, which there are different aspects that one has to know, whether it is preparing a financial will, it's a great idea. You probably don't need your rabbi to tell you that, although the rabbi will tell you that where there's a will, I want to be in it, right? There are plenty of practical and financial reasons why we should all do so. You want to prevent fighting, God forbid, I've seen too much of that in my time as a rabbi, and settle any debts, and enjoy to see the success of the charity we give while we can actually appreciate it here in this world. Of course, you also might want to make an ethical will. Perhaps it's an important thing to instruct to give the right instructions of what to do. The special value to a last will and testament, our chosen written legacy to our family, to our loved ones, to our community, regardless who you might be. And of course, I want to say, very importantly, having a halachic will, which will actually give the instructions of what should be done when, God forbid, if a person is in a decapacitated state, which we just never know if that will happen, God forbid. And therefore, it's important that we make sure that when it comes to medical treatment, that medical treatment should be done in accordance with Jewish law. And also the idea, you know, Judaism considers the body to be sacred even after the soul is departed. And therefore, we have to know that, God forbid, no cremation, and that burial is done according to age-old Jewish tradition and according to Jewish law, according to the laws of Kvoras Yisrael. And therefore, it's very, very important that we make sure those matters are taken care of, are decided long before any time comes. And you knowing that we put that into place is so, so important and vital. Certainly, we need to remember that it's not about fearing our mortality, but rather being in a comfortable place, making those decisions where we can place the greatest importance on preserving our life and our and looking after our health and taking care of ourselves, because there's nothing more important than that from a Jewish perspective. So, my friends, I think that in Judaism, we really have to know that we take care of ourselves. Our health, our, you know, exercising is an aspect of serving Hashem, eating healthily, right? It's not only wise and prudent, but it is Jewish and holy. And therefore, while we look forward to live a meaningful and purposeful life, we don't look forward to death. But at the same time, we are excited about life, and we're not excited about death, God forbid. We work to preserve life. We don't work to bring on death. We hope for life. We don't hope for death. But we know about death. We don't hide from it. It is just part of the cycle of life the way it is. And we never forget it. And we're always ready for it in that sense of realizing that every moment is precious, and I'm here for a purpose. And therefore, I should utilize each and every single moment to the best of my ability. And therefore, I remind you, we got to take care of ourselves and look after our well-being. And at the same time, to remember that from a Jewish perspective, retirement is not the way the world sees it, that we could be unproductive, or rather to see the benefits, that we have more time to study Torah and more time to daven and to invest more into our spiritual pursuits, and of course to spend more time with our family and to share all of our gained knowledge and experience of all the years that we have been privileged to be here in this world. And so I would suggest to everyone to make the best and of every moment we have here. And if you know of a senior citizen, or if you're a senior citizen yourself, I want to encourage you to come join our Chabad Seniors Club every day of the week, where we gather Monday through Thursday at Chabad House. And we have incredible programs and activities for the elderly, where we have therapies each morning, from occupational therapy and memory classes to physiotherapy to fun activities and breathing, stretching exercises and yoga. And we have daily shiurim with yours truly and others. We have guest lecturers. We have medical advice. We have a doctor who comes to talk about different questions you have on medical matters. Of course, don't forget, we have refreshments and a delicious, fresh, nutritious lunch every single day. We also have afternoon activities, from art therapy to tech tutors to beating and other exercises and activities that I forget to mention, and the outings. So reach out to me if you want to join these programs, because these are the ways to utilize your golden years in the best way possible. And if you can't come to us, I make my way to many of the retirement facilities in the community. If your retirement facility does not currently have me, why don't you ask the management to reach out to me, and we'll make sure to have activities and programs for you. And of course, we have our weekly food parcels and visitors and care callers to many lonely seniors throughout the community. So many. If you want to join our volunteer corps, just reach out to me and we'll bring you on board if you are qualified. And the point, my friends, is that we have to remember how every single moment we have is precious. So from the Jewish perspective, we have to utilize our God-given purpose, our mission in this world, to the best of our ability, every single day. That's my message to you all. And that's the message I try to live with. And this is the point. There's no such thing as moments lost. We can never make back the time that's gone, but we can utilize every moment we have in the most precious way possible. So the point I think we discussed today is how to utilize our golden years in the best way. And that is, if we are aware of the mortality that each of us inevitably is part of our life, the way God created it, and we can stay focused on what's most important in life. And perhaps it's humbling, but we are reminded of our vulnerabilities. And therefore, that hopefully will prevent us from making ego-driven, destructive choices. And if we could live our life in this more meaningful and more purposeful way, and not focus on the transient things, but rather inspire ourselves to seize every single moment and every opportunity we have to better ourselves and our relationships, then the present moment will be cherished, not only because life is short, but because it contains the godly potential that every moment has to be actualized, to do mitzvahs, to do good, to be there of service to those around us. And therefore, we have to be most productive with each and every single moment we have. And as our bodily powers perhaps might diminish as we get older, but therefore our purpose shifts to giving back by mentoring, by sharing our wisdom, our experience, and all that we have with others around us, and making the most of every single moment we have. And then we know that we lived our life to the best of our ability. In good health, please God, everyone will be healthy and well. And we wish you all a great Shabbos. Remember, as we always conclude our show here, carpe diem, aspire to inspire before you retire so you don't expire. And that motto that we concluded, I hope resonates with you a little better today than in the past. Wishing you a great Shabbos.